everyone, and welcome again to Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom. I'm sorry it's such a mouthful. I just thought it was good to have a longer name so that you could be more easily found in the search terms. And hopefully it's not too misleading. It is my technology classroom. Today I promised to talk to you about robots. Planning this podcast, I was thinking that if I talk to you about all the robots I know, that could take some time. So in this part one of this series, I'm going to talk to you about the robots that you might use in a junior primary classroom. So let's just start with, why would we bother with robots? A lot of people say, oh, kids playing with robots, it's just toys, it's not useful time. What will they learn? What can they take away from these activities using robots? And I have to say, there's so much. For a start, you know, there are robot toys you can buy, and yes, those are a little one-dimensional in terms of the educational outcomes you can get from them. But with the right robotics package in your classroom, you can teach so much. And in fact, I'm going to talk to you today about the way you can use the themes and ideas from the robotics kits to do an unplugged version. So you could get started without any robots whatsoever. All right, so why teach robots? One, group work, teamwork, cooperation. Usually in a situation including robotics, kids are forced to work in groups. It's just simple economics. Robots are not cheap. And also working in part of a team is really, really important when it comes to coding and robotics, because as that little quote I put up on Facebook the other day said, coding is 90% working out why it's not working and 10% writing code. And that's really, really important to remember, that you are going to make a lot of mistakes. And having a second set of eyes on your work is really important to help you get past some stumbling blocks that are going to pop up. When you look at coders working in professional settings, they're working in even bigger teams than two. They're working in quite big teams. So people have their own special type of coding that they do. They have people checking their work and working together and coming back together with the pieces to put together a project. So, you know, while we might think, well, wouldn't it be fantastic if every child could have their own robot? Yes and no. I think it's great to start with a couple of basic models in your classroom and aim for small group first, or whole class first, and then move on to more independent work when they have got some skills up and running. And some kids will never be ready to work on their own, and that's okay too. All right, so robots for small children. There's one robot that's been on my wish list for about 2 years now. I have seen one. I have not been able to play with one, but this is what I would do if I could, if I had funding to buy for a prep or grade one classroom, or a kindy or early years classroom. It's called Cubetto. It looks like a Montessori robot. It's basically just a wooden cube, and it has a face on it. So, you know, a little bit friendly. I do love robots. It comes with a board that sits on the child's lap or in front of them, and a collection of blocks. And each block, as you place it on the board, is one simple instruction. One block might be move forward, so you might pop three of those on the board, three move forwards. Then you might have another block, a different shape, which indicates that the robot should turn to the left or turn to the right. You pop that one on, and then a few more blocks to complete the sequence. So in putting on, you know, five or six blocks onto that board and then starting the robot up, children can very quickly see that the order, like the sequence, the number of blocks or commands, all those sorts of things work together to program that robot to move forwards, backwards, and down various pathways. This is really important. It sounds like a bit of fun and that, you know, you couldn't go very far with it. But it's very important because coding is a skill for life. When you look at a recipe for something new that you're cooking in the kitchen, the steps that you follow and the order that those steps are taken is really important to the outcome of your cooking experiment, let's say. My cooking's always fairly experimental. I'm not great at following the directions while I'm cooking. I prefer a bit of a choose your own adventure type activity in the kitchen. But even I know without reading a recipe that, you know, things must be chopped before they are fried and all of those sorts of things. So that cubetto system where kids are putting blocks down and looking at the how the sequence of commands affects what's happening, really, really important. Or you could just make pancakes, whichever. So that's really important. You could use that cubetto as part of a whole group activity, sitting in a circle. You could say to the children, oh, I want the cubetto to go from here to here. What commands would you tell the cubetto to follow to make that a reality? And they could whisper amongst themselves. You might even have them draw the blocks on a whiteboard or something like that before selecting one or two students to try out their code that's there. So, you know, that could be a whole class. You could do it in a small group as part of your reading rotations. You could count the blocks that you're going to use. You're going to use 5 blocks. I wonder how far your cubetto could travel, and those sorts of things. So cubetto, it's about 300 last time I checked. Anyway, it's in the hundreds. If you get one, I'm so jealous. Please let me know, because I would love to hear how well it goes in the classroom. Okay, so for a model I have used in the classroom now, Blue Bots and Bee Bots. Okay, most of you have seen those before. Pinterest is littered with ideas about using your Bee Bots and Blue Bots in efficient and engaging ways in your classroom. Let me talk to you about them first. So these ones are very clearly plastic. On the underside of the robot, you have 2 switches, on and off, one's for sound and one's for movement. And so it's really important for kids to get a handle on where those things are, how they operate, and why they're there. Don't be tempted to just demonstrate what to do. Really let the kids get in and have some experimental time. On the top of the robot, there are a number of buttons. There is one for forwards, backwards, left and right, so turning left and turning right, not moving left, but just turning on the spot, and a little cross symbol, which deletes the last bit of code you've entered, a pause, never really used that one, and in the center, a go button. So these buttons are actually going to allow children or whoever's using the BeeBot or BlueBot to program the robot to move. Now you might have seen there are some mats that you can buy. They're really expensive, like around $80 a mat expensive, and they're not big. And trust me, I know from experience, they do get a little worn very quickly if you're using these in a number of classrooms. They are more expensive than one unit of a BeeBot. So don't get caught up thinking you need to buy all of the mats to make this BeeBot system work. I have bought BeeBots without the rechargeable battery because they're cheaper and I'd rather have 2 of them. I can tell you that I've put my favourite, the Aldi Blue batteries in them. The batteries last a very, very long time. So don't be afraid to get the ones that you need to add batteries to. They are fine. You're not going to be constantly changing the batteries. Don't stress. Okay, so if you're not going to buy the commercial mats, you can just make your own mats. This is a little easier said than done because the dimensions have to be quite exact to get them working well. But on Pinterest and other places, there are a number of places where you can download and print through your normal photocopier some BeeBot mats. They can be blown up or stuck together, and I find that this works just as well. And there are fabulous, amazing teachers out there making particular mats for units on, you know, geography and those sorts of things. What I have done is bought just a couple of those clear mats that you get on MTA and those other sites. They're usually about $30, so not as expensive. And you can really use those in a number of ways. First off, you could pop some sight word cards on the top. And kids could maneuver the BeeBots to get from one sight word to another. You could have a bit of a clue thing going on saying, you know, I'd like your BeeBot to go to the sight word that has 4 letters, starts with WH, and it's on our spelling list this week, or things like that. Or you could get them to program to tell a story using some words on the mat. And those sorts of things work in really well with literacy rotations. You could use them in maths. You could talk about, you could have some problems on the board, on your mat that you've got on the floor. You could write on some sums, like 5 plus 2 and 6 plus 1 and 10 take 2, or 20 take 11. And you could say to the children, look, I'd like you to program the B-bot to get to a square where the answer is 7. And then they'd have to work out first which square they need to go to and then how to program it. You could also pop out a world map and pop that on the floor and get them to go from one country to another or one continent to another, or ask them to do things like crossing the equator and those sorts of things. So there are lots of ways that you can incorporate this into your classroom group work. I would suggest BBots are great for group work. They're very engaging. You put 3 or 4 kids on there while you're doing some guided reading on the other side of the room, you're probably not going to have too much of an issue with them staying focused on their work, particularly if you tell them that, you know, if there's any arguments, the BBots will be going away. So that usually helps to foster that creativity and collaboration. So that's something you can do. So for actually programming those BBots, on the Facebook site, so Mrs. Techie's Technology Classroom, the Facebook site there, I'm popping up some a resource that another teacher has made. It's free. You can download it, photocopy it to your heart's content. It's actually a set of cards, command cards. They match the pictures on top of the BBot. In terms of, there's a card that's for pressing the forward button once, one that's for pressing the backward button, one for spinning left and spinning right. So when I work with kids with BBots, it's all very well and good to say to them, okay, move from here to here and press the buttons and get moving. But it doesn't actually lead to that whole lot of collaborative talk that happens really naturally through these activities. So I would say to you, look, have the kids actually code their commands on the floor in front of them before they program the robot itself. And when I say code them, it means that they may lay out from top to bottom, because most code is written from top to bottom, not all, but most, that they would lay out those command cards. You know, if the BBot needs to go forward 3 times, turn left and then go backwards twice, then they would need to put out 3 cards for forwards, 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 turn left, that's another card, and then backwards twice. So they'd be laying 7 cards out there, having a partner check it, and then once they're both satisfied that it's correct, one person will program it to see that it completes the mission successfully. This is really good for them to have that visual record, because if things don't work out, remember how I said coding is 90% working out what went wrong, that they can actually go back to their code and see where they went wrong and fix it, or have someone else come in and have a look at where the code is going wrong. Kids really love this. They also love setting other people up for failure. Here's a code I wrote, it's going to work perfectly. And so it's really important to have those kids checking to see that code is correct, and maybe making some adjustments before they go ahead and use that. Once kids are really familiar with coding with BBots, you can actually give them some more real world type problems to solve. Well, when I say real world, you know, imagination world. You could say, well, this little BBot's landed on Mars and he needs to get from this place here past the puddles without getting its feet wet, and then go to this radio tower to send a message for help. Obviously you wouldn't use real puddles and things like that, but the children could actually come up with a great big map that they have created themselves, and then have the BBot programmed to follow the route that they need. This could be part of your geography or maths. I know in year one maths and in geography in the junior years, there's quite a bit of having students find a pathway from one place to another. My advice would be to make the language in maths match the language of the BBots, otherwise it's going to be quite complicated for students to follow through. For example, if in maths, I know one of the assessments I looked at this year, students needed to write some instructions for going from one part of a map to another, and and the example text had them going forwards and then going right or going left. Generally, people don't crab walk left and right. Generally, they turn and then continue forward. So I think in this case, it's actually really okay. It makes it more real world to adjust that mass activity so that they can use sort of BBOT type language to say go forward, turn right, and then go forward again, rather than forwards and left and right and sidestepping. You could still use some language like go forwards, turn east or turn west, and have a discussion about which way would be east or west for the BBOT, and might it change in various different times. If you find that this is all very simple for your more advanced learners, there are definitely ways to make this more complicated. First off, if it's part of a group, you could change the activities so that it's a little bit more strenuous on the brain for literacy. You know, instead of using sight words, use more complicated words, or put half word halves up where they have to find both parts of them to make that work. Or in fact, do things like say, well, you know, you need to program this robot, but you're not allowed to use the forward button, and see if they can work through that to make sure that they can still get to places by using the BBOT going backwards. You know, that's a really good brain stretch for a lot of kids who are searching for a challenge. So that's BBOTs in a nutshell. Sorry I've talked so quickly. They are really exciting. Kids like them. I would generally recommend that they're only used in prep and one. I think by the end of year one, kids are ready for a bigger challenge, which brings me through to WeDos. So Lego make a number of different robot products, and WeDo is the one that I first fell in love with because it's so simple and so familiar and so tied to curriculum. Lego have done a really, really good job on making this product work for teachers and really eliminate some of the workload for us in the classroom, which, you know, teachers love that. So the first thing they've done is WeDos are little robots, similar to the BBOTs, but smaller. So they're compact. They come in a tray, a plastic tray, with little gaps that are labelled so that we can see where things go, and teachers love that organisation. The trays are stackable. They might try and sell you a trolley to keep these little robots in, but let me just say, for years and years I have just stacked them together up on top of a filing cabinet with no problem whatsoever. I just stand up on my little ladder and pass them down to students. They're really well self-contained. When you do set them up, my recommendation is, once it's set up, weigh each tray, and then you'll know if things are missing when you're putting them away, rather than trying to count the hundreds of pieces that come with them. So that's why I love the WeDos, is because they do come with a building kit. So this is a kit that can be customized for the student need. Inside the program that you get with WeDo for free, it's on iPad, you can download it whenever you like, even without having those WeDo robots in your school. And in fact, I urge you today, go and download it, have a look at it. You'll find that there are some programs written in there, ready to go. They deal with forces, they deal with environmental issues, they deal with building to solve problems. They've got that real heart of engineering inside this kit, and they're really, really tied to curriculum. One of my favourite things to do with teachers is to say to them, look, if you're teaching year two science and you're looking at forces and friction, do the spinning toy activity with WeDo, and use that for your assessment. It's a slam dunk. You know, you're not having to search for enough bottle caps and bits of cardboard and old Kellogg's boxes to make a toy which may or may not fit the purpose. We know what kids' fine motor skills are like these days, and building is quite complicated for a lot of them. So, you know, you're dealing with Lego. Kids can build something out of Lego, and it's motorized, and it can be coded, and it can run on its own, and it's all kind of very, very magical for everyone involved, and not too complicated at all. You will need iPads for kids to have with the software on, because those have their build instructions and also have the code that kids will need to lay down to make these robots work. It will also work with other devices. I've just found that iPads are the easiest way to go. I'd suggest before you buy them, find whatever devices you've got at school, if it's laptops or desktops or whatever it is, download the WeDo software and just check that everything will work there before you invest. Because while the BeBots are, you know, under $100 each, generally speaking, WeDos are quite a bit more than that. If you're looking for a class set, which I would say one between two is ideal, one between three is doable but a little bit complicated, I'd be looking at getting 13 sets. You're looking at around the 4,000 mark, unless you get them on special. I have had them for under 3,000 for that set of 13, but you may have to wait for a special to get that. So you're looking at about $4,000. That set though can be used between classrooms, like share it with someone else, share it with the whole school. I've had one set going between six classrooms in the past without too much hassle at all. Yes, you may lose a few pieces, but it's Lego. You're going to find some more. And to that end, even put a message in the newsletter saying, we're working with new Lego robotics. If you have any spare Lego at home, please send it in for use in our classroom as a donation, of course. And you'll be surprised at how many people are just like, well, get that stuff out of my house, take this to school. Thanks very much. So, you know, you'll have some spare parts that you can use. The Lego WeDo set is one brick module. So that's like the brain. It's where you put the batteries. It has, that's where the coding goes to. And one motor. It also has a couple of sensors. So it's really getting kids used to having a couple of different parts operating on a robot. And they need to code those different parts to work. And it's just so much fun. So much fun, and kids can work at their own pace with it. You might use the modules that are on the app, or you might say to them, look, here's a problem that you need to solve, and have them working on something else. And before long, they're going to be begging you to go off book and build their own amazing creations. And that's a really, really fun way to do some learning, cooperating, working together, and all of those things. So those are basically the recommendations I have for Australian classrooms at the moment. There are a whole load of other products flooding the market at the moment. Just be careful if you're going to buy some other products. I would really, really strongly recommend that you buy something with an engineering component. So that design that kids can actually modify what they are building, that they can add or take or innovate in that way. Be careful with software. If you get a brand new company and you need software to run your robot and the company goes belly up and the software disappears, you're going to be left with something that's no longer operational. I'd be careful when you look at the components of your robots. So just be aware that sometimes little button batteries, that can be a risk for school. So maybe something, stick with bigger batteries. And it's a well-known company, which is why I've gone to Lego, even though it may not be the most cost-effective. It just seems the safest at this point in time. There are lots and lots of products out there. If you can't get kids started with those sorts of sets because they're too expensive, stay tuned. Check out the website. There will be some fantastic links coming up very soon about ways to get kids coding without any equipment, or simply with just some laptops or desktop computers. It is a really, really important thing that we give our kids opportunities to follow directions, but also to innovate and have fun at school. I guarantee you, if you set a day a week for doing robots or design and digital technology, that will be the day you have the highest attendance. In my job last year as a technology specialist, there were so many kids who would just be desperate to get into that classroom and have had such a great time. It was really wonderful to see them excited about coming to school. So best of luck with that. If you stay tuned, the next part two, which will be uploaded at the same time as this podcast, we'll talk about some other robotics options that you may like to run for extension in the junior primary, or for lunchtime groups, or for upper primary. It's not to say that those other robots aren't for younger students. I'm just at the moment with kids' skill level where it is and fine motor where it is, I do think that those Cubetto, BeBots and WeDos are the perfect solution for Australian schools up to about the year 3, year 4. Best of luck. Please send me any questions that you have, and thanks for listening.